You are about to experience Ground Zero, an odd speaker experience. Through the crack. Just when you thought you were safe. Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. You know, we talk about things in the sky, bright lights, explosions, fireballs, Planet X, I don't know. We have so many things out there. And in fact, to my listeners out in Texas, I want to tell you this. For those of you that saw this morning some bright streaks across the sky that looked like huge fireballs and sonic booms, the American Meteor Society and everyone else is now saying that what you saw this morning was a Chinese rocket re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. It was a rocket body CZ-4B. It was launched on May 10th, 2012 from a launch pad in China. And they're saying that the light that was emitted from the disintegrating rocket was reported to be brighter than a full moon. Witnesses say that every color of the rainbow was displayed in the trail. Orange was the most common light seen. So here we go. Disintegration of rockets, things re-entry. We're having all this stuff happening. Something pushing everything here. I mean, rockets re-entering are normal. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to make mountains out of molehills here, but when mountains need to be talked about, we talk about mountains, especially mountains that are going to be throwing themselves at us from space. And so, I mean, I kicked off this program talking about the idea that, you know, back in the day when I did a lot of Planet X shows, and you know, I talked about Planet X and Nibiru, and I talked about the Sumerian mythologies and the ideas, and someone had told me, you know, you can expect that, you know, pretty soon, we may be seeing something coming towards us. When we do see it, we're going to be seeing enormous amounts of activity in space. You know, we're going to be seeing comets are going to be bright. We're going to be seeing fireballs are going to explode. We're going to see these precursory things happening. And people are going to wonder what it is. And you may surmise that what you're seeing out there is Planet X. And I thought, well, okay, I want to dig deeper than just saying, okay, Planet X is coming and everybody run for the hills. You know, I think that we need to go back to 1983, where, as I said in the Washington Post, they had said that NASA had been tracking something near Orion that was, they didn't know what it was, looked like a planet, looked like something else. So I decided tonight it's worthy of having two guests on the program to talk about this, to have sort of a small mini panel about what's going on in space. So what I've done is I've invited John DiNardo from New Jersey to come on the program. He's part of the Light of Day radio show, lightofdayradioshow.com. He's a researcher, physics professor, and electrical engineer. He's been studying and talking about Planet X for some time. And then, of course, our good friend Michael Knight, who is with prepareyourgroundzero.com. He's also a historian and astronomer. And many of you know that he did the video Contact Has Begun about the East SETI Ranch with James Gillen. He's actually one of the people who runs the ranch up there in Washington State. He's in Washington tonight, and of course, John DiNardo's in New Jersey. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to Ground Zero.
Hello, Clyde.
Well, thank you, Clyde. This is Michael.
Hi, Michael. So, first of all, I have been reading all of the stories about the fireball over Russia, reentry of something that happened over Texas this morning causing sonic booms, the resonating boom effect, all of that, and then we're hearing about the possibility of Mars being hit by a huge asteroid, or a comet, rather, and it's supposed to happen in October of 2014. We've got Ison, a huge comet that will be seen in the sky, and we've got Pan-STARRS that will be seen in the sky. I want to ask John, first of all. John, you know, you're a physics professor. What do you make of all this?
Actually, a former high school physics teacher.
Okay, you're a physics teacher.
And electronics engineer.
All right, go right ahead. Okay, so John, you've taught, you know, astronomy, and you've taught physics, and you've taught all this. What do you make of all this to start with?
Well, after studying this subject for about 10 years, it's obvious to me that we're seeing a lot of a cover-up coming from the government and the media, which is controlled by the government. For example, when that Russian asteroid or Russian meteor struck about 2 weeks ago, they had told us that it was just a coincidence that the meteor struck Russia on the very same day that this asteroid came dangerously close to Earth. They said, oh, it's just a coincidence. There's no connection at all. Well, apparently, it was no coincidence. They were lying to us deliberately because there were numerous crashes of meteorites striking Earth, one in California, one in Cuba. I'm going by memory. And in addition to the one in Russia, there were about four or five of these fragmentary meteorite crashes on the very same day, all parts of the same group or cluster that would be gravitationally associated with this asteroid. You see, an asteroid is a body. It has a certain amount of mass, and therefore it gravitationally attracts, like a magnet, attracts other smaller objects such as meteors.
Mm-hmm.
So they're covering up. Why would they want to lie? That's the very first question we want to ask ourselves. And therefore, so we can ask ourselves the second question, is it really true that there was a satellite that crashed that caused this shooting star to appear in the sky, or was it another meteor? I think we're going to see more of them. We have been seeing more of them. If you look at the records, they've been increasing because when a large object comes in, it gravitationally drags an entire gang of smaller bodies along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And as it gets closer to the Earth's gravitational field sucks them in. So I think that's what's happening.
Michael,
there are more and more crazy, ridiculous cover-up stories.
Right, I'm sure we're going to get more. But that's the thing, though, is that they kept everything quiet. And I'm sure, you know, Michael Knight, who was a former journalist in New Zealand, would attest that when you worked in the news department, Michael, how was it that New Zealand handled all of this? I mean, what would they do? I mean, you guys also down there get hit a lot, or they get a lot of earthquakes and all kinds of strange things going on there. What were you told? What was the policy?
Well, back then, I was an editor of a national television channel, and we handled it very openly. We had, for example, UFOs flying alongside a plane on which one of my camera crews was traveling for a couple of hundred miles, and they took footage of it. We aired it, and the scientists, the bureaucrats, the government agencies said, well, that was just, over here they say it's swamp gas and fireflies. The quote, experts, unquote, in New Zealand wrote it off as being a reflection of lights from Japanese squid boats. Well, the plane was flying at 20,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
We were a lot more open about this than the media is here.
And why do you think the media is covering it up, Michael, here in the United States?
There's no good reason to cover it up, but the reason they would give is that they don't want to create mass panic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I personally believe that informed people are capable of making their own decisions. And the way these things are presented now, the majority of people are kept in the dark. Now, like John was just saying, these asteroids and comets and so forth drag other things along with them. And I can visualize some sort of a shotgun out in space with a whole different range of pellets inside it, you know, from double aught down to game load.
Mm-hmm.
And they just coming by, that asteroid went by, and I felt at the time that the thing that hit Russia had to be part of that event. It's not as if there's just one asteroid traveling by itself and just by chance it misses the Earth, while at the same time something else hits the Earth.
I had a feeling, too. That's why when I was doing the program, I had asked the question directly to my audience, do you trust NASA in giving us the full story? And will we see any other event take place where we'll be shocked? I was shocked at just how devastating the event truly was in Russia. And I know that a lot of people were telling me that I was actually over-exaggerating it, but I wasn't. I mean, 20,000 troops were called out to keep the peace. It was all kinds of crazy. It's got 1.3 million people there. Now they're saying the sound resonated, and they're also using math and they're using physics to determine that there's a cluster called, and I've never heard of this before, the Apollo cluster, where they call them Apollo clusters because these are potentially dangerous rocks that could come within our planet and cause all kinds of trouble. Apollo meaning destroyer. And it's no secret that these Apollo clusters exist, that asteroids like Apophis and Tutatis and all these smaller ones are coming down. And people, I mean, I've had a lot of people say to me, you know, Clyde, they told us that if Planet X was to arrive, or if something, a big celestial body was to arrive near us, that we'd be seeing this activity. And that's why I decided, I mean, last night I was thinking aloud and I said, you know, what if this is the beginning of the turbulent times in space, as above, so below, and the chaos is about to ensue. John DiNardo's with us tonight on Ground Zero. We're so glad to have him on. He's a physics teacher, electrical engineer. He has talked many times and has warned about the arrival or the approach of Planet X. And Michael Knight is on the program as well, and he's here to talk about Planet X and other space anomalies. Of course, being involved with the East City Ranch with James Gilliland on Mount Adams in Washington State. He's also a historian, astronomer, and he also is the producer of Contact Has Begun. Tonight, we had to have a double barrel filled because we felt as though it was important to get the true message of what may be going on out there in space. If you have any questions of my guests or of me, you can call in tonight at 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700 as we explore the far deep reaches of space, find out the words, the names, and the planets, and whether or not they pose a danger to our lives. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Everyone is in on the secrets, and big things are being planned. Call Clyde Lewis now. Ground Zero.
John DiNardo is with us tonight on Ground Zero. So is Michael Knight, both experts in the field of Planet X and other space anomalies coming our way. I brought them both on tonight to talk about what's going on in space. I want to ask John, of course, you've taught in high school physics and also a lot of what we're talking about tonight. What are your feelings on the effects of celestial bodies and Earth changes, such as earthquakes, volcanoes, and storms? What would you have to say about that?
Well, there are two forces that we have to be concerned about when a large body such as this brown dwarf star, it has been defined most likely to be a brown dwarf star as long ago as 30 years ago by the most eminent people in the field of astronomy and astrophysics. I have a New York Times article, incidentally, to prove that. Right in front of me, I went to my library and photocopied this January 30th, 1983, New York Times, where they say that the great scientists of the day, including those in NASA, claim that this object that's been detected beyond Pluto is most likely a brown dwarf star. Now, we know the definition of the puniest brown dwarf star would be about 3 Jupiter masses. Now, 1 Jupiter mass is defined as 318 Earth masses, so the most conservatively small estimate of this brown dwarf star would be somewhere around 1,000 Earth masses. However, the sun's mass is 1/3 of a million Earth masses, so the sun is much greater. Therefore, the sun acts like a huge gravitational magnet, sucking in any object that is not orbiting around the sun itself. So we have to deal with the force of gravity. As this object gets gravitationally sucked in by the sun, toward the sun, on a long elliptical orbit in which it will loop around the sun, as it gets closer, it drags an entire army of smaller bodies, ranging from as large as small planets in its swarming orbit around it, all the way down to comets, asteroids, meteors, boulders, rocks, and even particles as small as red iron oxide dust. And this is what we see in read in the Bible, that the waters turn red in the book of Exodus. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, and God reportedly made the waters turn red. Now, we can go beyond, or we can leave the subject of supernatural occurrences and go simply to the historical record. The Bible is a historical record to a great extent.
Right.
And what was witnessed was the waters turning red. In fact, a lot of this was verified, not only in the Bible, but by Egyptians who survived the cataclysms that occurred around 36 and a half centuries ago. And there's a document that is now in the Museum of Leiden in Holland, the Netherlands. It's called the Ippower Papyrus. And on it, survivors of the cataclysm of 1650 B.C., thereabouts, wrote about all the disasters that occurred at the time that the Israelites were being liberated from Egypt. So this is a historical record. Now, what happens is it pulls down upon the earth because of the gravitational pull. It causes the earth's mantle, which is can be envisioned as something like pudding, thick pudding. It's molten rock, and it goes very deep below the crust of the earth, all the way down to where it meets the earth's outer core, which is molten iron outer core.
Mm-hmm.
That mantle can be manipulated, massaged, just like the flesh on an obese man who's being massaged. That's what happens to the crust, the mantle of the earth, and likewise, the skin of that man that we use as an analogy, the skin of that man would also be massaged.
So if anything,
gravitational at a distance.
Right. So you're saying that that any celestial body, if it comes in contact with the earth, can be finding its way over the earth. And when it does, it could cause the shaking or the quaking or what have you. I just wanted to point out something today. And I made this statement after, I made this statement as I was preparing the show. My producer, Brian, had told me that today Oklahoma had at least two 3.5 earthquakes. Now, we did a trajectory model and measurement. It was 365 miles away from where whatever that was that came in, whether it be a Chinese rocket or a meteor, depending on what you want to call it, where it came in, and it could have created a prequake or an afterquake. From that, because it came in early in the morning this morning, and the earthquake happened today.
Well, along those lines, Clyde, and what John's been saying, the skin of the Earth is, it consists of a number of tectonic plates, and it seems to me, just from studying the statistics on USGS, the U.S. Geological Survey, the number of magnitude 7 and above earthquakes has increased considerably over the last 10 years. Now, while they'll say that, and this is the disinformation which contains truth within it, if you're prepared to dig, the disinformation is that their earthquakes haven't increased in number. It's just because we have more seismographs and we're picking up more information. So it seems like there's more earthquakes. But if you focus in on those magnitude 5, 6, and 7, a lot more of those are occurring. Recently, there was a magnitude 8 down in the Solomon Islands, Santa Cruz area, followed by hundreds of magnitude 5s, none of which has been reported in the mainstream media as being an anomaly. But there's nothing like that being recorded, as far as I'm aware, in the time that earthquakes have been reported.
That's amazing that we're having the increase of earthquakes, as John had pointed out, and now you, Michael, pointing out. We're seeing the increase of earthquakes, the increase of the skin of the fat man jiggling more and more. And I just find this interesting, especially when, people want to poo-poo the idea of a Planet X or some body coming in, either the dwarf star or what have you, coming in to towards us, creating these gravitational disturbances, these balls of fire, these rocks and other things entering the atmosphere. Michael Knight and John DiNardo is with us tonight on Ground Zero. If you have any questions, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
We'll be right back.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
USGS ComCheck green clearance C.
Sector 3, clear channel 4. We are seeing waves ragdoll at 2.4 hertz.
Save your energy. Save yourselves. Avoid the planet Earth at all costs. 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 Farewell.
So, it's all come down to this. Somehow, something went wrong. Now, I can't help but wonder.
Am I too late?
Well, we can go straight to our correspondent, James Young, who captured the whole incident on camera. James, can you just talk us through what's happening?
Well, we were awoken in the early hours by the sound of explosions. The night sky was lit up in the east. You can see from this night vision footage that there seems to be what looked like several missiles heading across the sky.
Lifeless bodies were pulled from the debris, many killed as they slept.
The carnage is eerily invisible. In the hardest hit, where the death toll is expected to climb to 100,000.
Thousands of people in cars, scooters, and on foot are fleeing for higher ground.
The devastation that it caused was unbelievable.
We were just
died black and very big, very quickly.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight, John DiNardo is with us. He's in New Jersey, and he's a researcher, physics teacher, electrical engineer, has studied and warned people of the approach of Planet X, what Planet X is. Michael Knight as well with us tonight, historian, astronomer, and also runs and is part of the East SETI Ranch in Washington State. Of course, a lot of observatories there watching what's going on up above us and actually catching a lot of UFOs and UFO activity. I want to ask Michael, you know, last year was a banner year for UFOs and a banner year for strange fireballs in the sky. I know that up at the East SETI Ranch, it's been well known that you can see a lot of these things. Was there an increase this year up at the ranch?
Well, I haven't been keeping tabs on the ranch and the appearances up there, but I do know that you're quite correct in saying there's been a tremendous increase in sightings around the world. One that stands out in my mind is a cigar-shaped object that disappeared into the volcano down by Mexico there, in Mexico City.
I remember seeing that footage, yes.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, that thing was a tremendous size. They say it could have been as much as a kilometer long.
Wow.
Which is just huge. Now, the question is, I think there's no question about the fact that there are UFOs built by black ops and military and have been for a long period of time. But there are also craft which are from elsewhere. So it seems to me that we should be alert to the possibility that there's some sort of disclosure on the horizon. And it won't necessarily be the sort that Hollywood has in mind. It won't necessarily be the munch and chomp. It could be that if you look at the historical records, all ancient cultures talk about gods, not just one god. You know, one god came along with the Bible.
Right.
Prior to that, you know, the Romans had a pantheon of gods. The Greeks had a pantheon of gods. There's tremendous evidence around the world of this planet having been visited, colonized by entities from elsewhere.
Let me ask John, is it true that Nibiru was known as the winged planet, or the winged disk planet, And it was the planet of the gods. The gods used it, and they arrived on this planet, and they interacted with humans.
Oh, I can't tell you anything about the gods. I haven't studied that aspect of it.
I see, okay.
But I can tell you, though, that from a scientific point of view, what happens is when a comet comes in to our solar system, it penetrates the heliosphere, which is way beyond the outer bounds of our solar system and is actually a spherical shell composed of plasma, electrically charged particles, gases. And when it penetrates, this body picks up the electric charges and becomes saturated with them. As it penetrates the heliosphere, sort of like a bee flying into a huge bubblegum bubble, the bee becomes engulfed in this bubble gum and pulls a whole string of bubble gum along in a trail.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very similar, in a very similar fashion, this comet or any comet entering would pull a large quantity of electrically charged particles, plasma, in with it. And as a result, what you have is when it gets closer to the sun now, this body is positively charged. It's saturated with electrical charge, just like when you touch some of these styrofoam packing objects. They stick to your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, this object engulfed in positive charge comes closer to the sun, and because of its close proximity to that mostly negatively charged sun, there is a discharge because of the opposite character of the charges between the sun being negative and the body being positive. At the same time, the solar winds are blowing out and causing – solar winds are electrically charged particles too, and they cause the plasma that engulfs this incoming comet to stretch out like wings. And the wing globe is definitely something that's been observed. It's a scientific phenomenon caused by the plasma streaming out laterally from the comet. And you'll see that the ancients worshipped this. They thought it was a god. You see the insignia carried over from many centuries ago, from ancient history to today. You see the insignia of the Air Force, the U.S. Air Force insignia, is this winged globe that appeared in the sky.
Right.
And as Michael says, it was worshipped as a god. Also, the Toyota logo is a winged globe. The Chrysler Corporation logo is a winged globe. And Zechariah Sitchin, I have his book, The 12th Planet, in front of me. And in it, he describes how civilizations, I'm just going to quote a little bit from page 240 of The 12th Planet by the late Zechariah Sitchin. Wherever archaeologists uncovered the remains of Near Eastern peoples, the symbol of the winged globe was conspicuous, dominating temples and palaces carved on rocks, etched on cylinder seals, painted on walls. It accompanied kings and priests, stood above their thrones, hovered above them in battle scenes, was etched into their chariots. Clay, metal, stone, and wood objects were adorned with this symbol. So, and he goes on to say that it actually turned out to be a cross. The letter T or Tau, cuneiform, which is the Sumerian written script. Cuneiform sign meant Anu. And maybe Michael can amplify this. Anu, A-N-U, or meaning divine, evolved in the Semitic languages to the letter Tau, or the sign of the cross. And Jesus claims that we will see the sign of the cross again in the sky when he returns.
That's amazing, especially when we passed through this year, and we're probably going to do it again, when we were going through the galactic equator. The alignment of the planets, as soon as we passed through the equator, created a cross in the sky. We were doing the crossing as we passed through Ophiuchus, and then from Ophiuchus, Sagittarius, Scorpius, into Taurus. And at the moment, we are being influenced by a number of planets, Saturn, and now, of course, we're now being told that many of these rocks have come from an Apollo cluster. It's Apollo cluster, and they're coming at us, and they're saying that more will come. I find that interesting that the name Apollo comes up because of the fact that we all know what Apollo represents, and that is the destroyer.
The destroyer, Clyde, was also a name given to what is now termed Planet X. It was the destroyer is something that I believe Sitchin may have referred to it, but in other texts and records of the past. Now, but going back to what John was saying about objects coming through the heliosphere and gathering plasma and having an opposite charge to the sun and therefore appearing as a cross, I'm putting on my journalistic sort of background here. How would people on Earth, literally on the Earth at that time, have been able to see such a thing? How close would it have to be for people on Earth to see it and revere it?
Well, a lot closer if you believe what Villikovsky had talked about. You know, Emmanuel Villikovsky believed that the planets and the stars and, I mean, at one time, everything was closer and it moved away and that we would hear rumblings of the planets and we'd see literally wars between the planets or wars between the gods.
Yes, I recall reading that book many years ago and I was quite fascinated by it because it seemed to suggest that there are cycles of behavior in the solar system, in the galaxy, and in the universe, which have this gravitational effect, which, you know, the planets sort of behave like billiard balls, in a sense.
Right.
And the Earth itself is affected by all of this, which is why it seems to me that the crust of the Earth is actually expanding. There's been a huge bed of lava discovered down in the South Pacific, which the guy who discovered it, a scientist, of course, and give him kudos for this, but the official release is that there's nothing to worry about. It won't affect us for about 1 million years. But if the tectonic plates are moving and expanding, that thing could find itself a fissure between where the plates join and create a tremendous sudden boiling of the oceans.
Oh my gosh, that would frighten a lot of people, you know. And I would
ancient.
What's that, John? Go ahead.
This is prophesied in the ancient text, historical records, called the Kolbrin, K-O-L-B-R-I-N.
Yes.
And I'm sure Michael's heard of this. Where I'll paraphrase what it says. It says, "When the destroyer," again, that's what it's called by other civilizations. In fact, in the book of Exodus, God calls it the destroyer. He says, "I will send a destroyer to pass over Egypt." And that's how the term Passover came about.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating because it all seems to fall into place. We got to take a break. I want to elaborate more on this. This is such a great information source between both John DiNardo and Michael Knight tonight on Ground Zero, talking more about how the destroyer cluster is where that rock came from Russia. The destroyer cluster, the destroyer or the destroying planet is Planet X or Nibiru. We may be seeing something having to do with Planet X coming our way. It's amazing. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Back to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
888-673-3700. It's 888-673-3700. John DiNardo and Michael Knight with us tonight on Ground Zero. And I know that John is very busy, and we're glad to have him. I wanted him to give some final thoughts here. Now, we've been seeing a lot of anomalies going on. Your opinion on ISON and PanSTARRS, a lot of people may say that this is even getting closer. You were talking about the comets. You were talking about the plumes that are left behind. What do you know about PanSTARRS? What do you know about ISON? And are we going to be seeing more comets that will just come onto the picture undetected?
Frankly, I haven't studied these soon to approach comets or asteroids, because I know they're part of an entire array of incoming objects, so I don't bother too much with each individual one. All I know is that we're going to be seeing more of these comets coming in, because it's simple basic physics. Gravity works. And what I mean is that when a brown dwarf star, something is that has been estimated by the scientific community 30 years ago in 1983 as being at least around 1,000 Earth masses. When something that massive gets close enough into our solar system, as it has been reported in the Washington Post back in 1983, when it becomes a part of our solar system, it must necessarily be attracted, gravitationally pulled in toward our sun, which is one-third of a million Earth masses. So there's no way to escape this reality. And so we're going to see more and more comets coming in, and we have to be prepared for it. There are going to be more crashes, more bolide objects striking Earth, and it's unfortunate to know, it's sad to know that they are now discovering that the objects do not have to be that large. They said anything the size of half a football field could cause a global disaster, global catastrophe, whether it hits land or the sea. I just wanted to read this. The third secret of Fatima was a purported, I don't draw any conclusions from this, purported supernatural event nearly a century ago in 1917. Catholics around the world saw what they claimed to be a miracle. Three girls were given a vision, words from what they claimed to be an angel. I don't know if this is true, but they said it was the angel of God. The third secret was to be revealed. According to the church, they promised to reveal this secret in 1960, the third secret of Fatima. What happened was Pope Pius XII in the 1950s died suddenly, shortly before 1960. And all the great fervor among Catholics around the world, they were was quenched. Quelled, because now they were not to be given the secret that they had all been waiting eagerly for. And in 1980, I'm reading an article now from a German magazine translated into English, Stimme des Glaubens, is reporting in October 1981, Pope John Paul II met with a select group of German Catholics in Fulda, Germany. November 1980, and he was asked, what about the third secret of Fatima? Should it not have already been published by 1960, 20 years ago? The Pope replied, quote, it should be sufficient for all Christians to know this. If there is a message in which it is written that the oceans will flood whole areas of the earth, and that from one moment to the next, millions of people will perish, truly, the publication of such a message is no longer something to be so much desired, unquote.
And it's just so amazing, to be honest, John, that just a few days or a few weeks ago, I was discussing this very thing of the Third Secret of Fatima about the Pope stepping down. And no matter what we say, whether it's a scandal or anything, the Pope stepping down and a new Pope taking the position all falls into prophecy. It all falls into the blueprint. It all falls into strange wonders in the sky and the idea that there would be two suns appearing in the sky. Nostradamus said this. This is at a time we would look as though two suns appear in the sky as the bright star burns in the night as well. And as we now have found out, that not only do we have two comets to deal with in the year that the Pope steps down, but in the year after, we will have a possible explosion, cataclysmic event on Mars that could possibly create a second sun in the sky. And then what happens next? We would probably see the other so-called planet or celestial body come into view. That would be something that would be remarkable, don't you think?
Yes. It's inevitable that it will come into view. Right now, it's a smoldering brown dwarf star, according to the scientists and astrophysicists. And therefore, it does not emit visible light. And that's why we cannot see it, but as it gets closer, the plasma that engulfs this body begins to become electrically excited as it gets closer to the primarily negative space charge surrounding the sun, and that's where you see discharges. It'll start to light up like a man smoking a cigar walking through a pitch dark hallway.
Well, John, thank you so much for your time tonight. Thank you for being on the program, and good night, and thank you for being part of the show. We're out of time. Take care.
Thank you, Clyde.
Bye-bye. And we'll be back with more from Michael Knight right here on Ground Zero. He'll be answering your questions after the break, so keep it here. Don't go away. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.